It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to welcome everybody. This is the 19th of December, just to prove that we're live here. And we will be, I want to remind everybody, we will be here next week and the week after when everybody else is off sunning themselves on a beach somewhere on an island. We will be here hard at work, as always. There isn't that much time left between now and the end of the year, and there are some things that are still of interest to taxpayers and investors that can be done to improve your situation a little bit between now and then. So we've got a couple of days to talk about. Well, actually, we've got one day, what's left of today, and one more show to talk about that. And there's a bunch of other stuff going on. Man, there's no lack of news out there.
No, there is definitely not.
The cycle is really, really booming. So today we'll look at what's going on, what it means to you. We'll offer some predictions, maybe not our own. But there's so much to do. I want to welcome all the regulars back. You know, we do this for you, and we appreciate you being there. Also, if you're new to the show, whether you've heard about it or you happen to have your radio on this channel because you were listening to Howard and Angela or something like that, stick around for a while. I promise you'll learn something. Not sure how useful or how useless to anybody until you listen and know. But believe me, if there are things you don't know, there are a lot of other people out there who don't know them either. And there's still things I'd like to know. And I usually will report on those after they happen. So, well, you talk about insight, huh?
That is, yeah.
It's just remarkable.
Wow.
I've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it shows.
Yeah, it should. Absolutely. Let's see. Topics today. Things like student debt and Social Security. Those are some of the things I'm thinking about that aren't necessarily year-end things, but they're certainly involved in the politics today as regards your finances. So we can talk about that. But if you really want to talk about what you want to talk about, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK, and we will put the callers on immediately, and we'll change our course to whatever it is that you want to steer us. Meanwhile, it's hard to get the smile off our faces and off the investors' faces because once again in the market, we had another real pleasant week, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially Thursday.
It felt better than it was to some degree. The NASDAQ had a really nice week. The Dow had a flat week. The S&P kind of regained the losses of last week. So there was nothing bad about the week, certainly, but it wasn't a gangbusters fantastic week either.
Three new records on Thursday, though.
Yep, that is true. And all three indexes were up for the week, so that's always a positive sign. But we're really sort of stuck in neutral, despite the records. We're not getting huge gains right now, and I think that's good, actually.
Oh, if we can stay in neutral when we're up this far.
Yep, we need to see some more consolidation. We're still in an overbought situation.
If somebody asked me if I wanted to close the year right now, I wouldn't even hesitate.
Oh, of course.
Bang, done.
Absolutely, I would too. And I really think it's the lack of a stimulus bill that's keeping the market from pushing higher. If that happens, which apparently they can vote on Sunday, that would really help things. And it would need to include direct payments to at least to the group that is unemployed right now. Right now, it looks like 12 million people are set to temporarily lose unemployment benefits. No matter what happens this week, no matter what gets voted on, they're going to temporarily lose those. Now, they can be retroactively paid for that gap, but still.
It doesn't help much at Christmas week.
Right. What a terrible timing. And it's just the typical political BS that's driving this, and it's really getting annoying.
There are countless tens of billions of dollars unspent from the original stimulus plan, and there are people on the streets begging and dying.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Tell me, people, who in D.C. do you think is doing a good job? I cannot find one.
No. I mean, small businesses are closing at an amazing pace. Restaurants are just folding, just struggling to stay above water, and people are struggling to pay the rent, and nobody in D.C. cares. No. That's what it comes down to.
The only thing that's holding this market up at the elevated level it sits at today, in my opinion, is the vaccines.
The vaccines and the fact that there is a large group of Americans that are doing quite well.
That is true.
It really depends on what you do for a living right now, how well you are doing, and it's really a line between the two. If you are a small business owner that owns a restaurant, you are really struggling.
Yeah.
If you're a small business owner that owns online sales or maybe a used car dealership, you're probably doing quite well.
Or as Crazy Uncle Joe says, if you're one of those guys clipping coupons in the stock market.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you're doing fine. And I want to get more into that in a little bit, but that the fact is, without a stimulus bill, I think that this Christmas is not going to be very merry for a large portion of America, which is
no, and even
really unfortunate.
The gross numbers that come out might look really good until you figure out that so many people are being left out of it. That's what I object to.
Yep, and if you're getting a couple of pretty Republican guys on the radio talking about this, about transferring money from wealthier taxpayers to lower income people in general, that means it's really badly needed.
War hurting.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
in fact, my word for the week, I'd love to come up with one. It was a slam dunk this morning. The word of the week is why.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and I'm going to go through some of those.
Okay.
Not right now. You can do that.
So, yeah, despite all of that, the market had a pretty decent week. The Dow pushed ahead by 0.4%. The S&P was up 1.3%. The NASDAQ was ahead by 3.1%. Year to date, the NASDAQ is now up more than 42%. Hard to believe.
Haven't fallen at one point by how much this year? 30, 35, something
like that?
It
was something like that, yeah. So, pretty remarkable.
This would be a remarkable year if it had just marched forward.
Yeah. But the fact that
it took that huge step back.
Yep.
Aren't you glad we kept telling you not to sell?
Yep. The vaccines definitely had an effect on that. The second vaccine was approved this week.
Yeah, just CDC, I think, that's left. There's one rubber stamp that's got to go on.
Oh,
but
it's
ready to ship.
Okay, it's basically
it's
done.
It's perfunctory.
Yeah, it got the recommendation from the FDA.
Moderna?
FDA.
And this one can be stored in a conventional freezer.
Right, and I think is that the one dose?
No,
one?
This is
a two dose as well. There is a one dose one that's in the
J&J
pipeline.
J&J is in the pipeline.
Okay,
with the one dose.
So that's great news.
By the way, you're not going to be able to choose whatever comes to your area.
Is what you're going to get. Yeah.
And from what I can tell, there's absolutely no difference. Except it would be really nice to know that you get one shot and you get the 95%.
Yeah, but at the end of the process, the efficacy rates are all quite similar. They're in the 90s. So
I hesitate to point out how well you did that today compared to last time.
I've been practicing.
You want to feel better, though?
Yeah.
Do you know who Dr. Sapphire is?
No.
He's a contributor to Fox many, many times during the week. She was on it about 6:30 sometime earlier this week, and she stumbled over that word.
It's impossible to say. It's like a tongue twister.
Yeah, we got to come up with a new term that means the same thing so we can all say it. But the point is, these things are changing the mood on Wall Street, and they're far more positive. I have not heard any reasons yet. There have been a couple of reactions, but they're the kind of people who get asthma attacks severely, things like that. I'm not really concerned. In fact, I've gone full tilt. I was one of the original reluctant ones. Now I'll line up and get it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question today, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales, First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Remember Bernie? Oh, not that one. Bernie Madoff. That one.
I remember him.
Well, they've been, what year was that? Been 10 years, 9 years, whatever.
It's been a while.
It has.
Maybe more?
Could be. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, over the years, they have been hunting around the world to find Bernie's assets, and they accumulate quite a bit of it, and then they'll do a payout to all the people that he shafted. But the next installment, which may be out already today, if not, it's in the works, it's $488 million of recovered funds. Once that's paid out, what percentage of money lost will have been recovered from all the clients that lost? 5%, 20%, 50%, whatever. I'll take it within 5%. So what percentage recovery have they managed to do while Bernie sits there rotting in prison? Too comfortable for my blood, but I have nothing to say about that. What he did, I could think of other penalties.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that.
No, I agree. But that's the world we live in, and that's the law, and we're going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to wrap up some more?
Yeah, I've actually got a bunch more. We've got some unexpected good news this week with Eli Lilly, Amgen, Franklin Resources, and Darden Restaurants. Do you know what it was?
Strange bedfellows.
Yeah, very strange.
No, frankly, I don't.
They all raised dividends this week.
Yeah. Excuse me while I pick myself off the floor.
I thought you might find that a little
raising
surprising.
Dividends in 2020 is the oxymoron of the year.
Definitely. And some of them were by amounts that are not insignificant. So let's see here. Eli Lilly, they raised it up to about 85 cents a share. That's up. That's a 15% hike from the previous year. They were up from 74 cents.
And do you know if they ever lowered them during the pandemic?
The article did not say that, and I didn't have time. I just found this morning.
That's of less interest to me than it would be otherwise. What's interesting is that that's the first time I've heard those words in one sentence
all
year.
That was why I decided to talk about it, because I hadn't seen that in quite a while. And the most surprising one was Darden Restaurants declared a quarterly dividend of 37 cents a share, up 7 cents or 23%. From 30 cents.
Yeah. Well, they've got some good brands, though.
They do, but I don't see how that matters this year when
no,
you don't
I
have
don't
any
either.
Clients.
Good point.
Yeah. One of the most interesting ways to track trends in the economy these days is to follow what trends in Google search terms. This year, more than ever, Google search trends have predicted and mirrored events taking place in our country. For instance, the search term COVID symptoms has risen right before each wave of the virus and fallen right before the peak of each subsequent wave.
So the more you know about it, the more likely you are to get it?
No, it just appears that people with symptoms of COVID, whether they have it or not, tend to Google that term, and then that search term tends to fall off right before the peak. So we've had about three waves, arguably maybe four, three or four. And every time the search term has predicted when that wave would be over. Crazy,
that's
but
very
true.
Interesting, though.
So, yeah, the things like that have it's a really interesting way of seeing what's on the mind of Americans.
Yeah, I've been loving this. We've been tracking the Google search trends for at least a year now.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how correlated that is to what actually goes on.
If you want some good news, the search term for COVID symptoms has actually fallen for the last 2 weeks. So we may be at the end or near the end of the rise of the third wave of the spike in the virus. So that's great news. There's a lot of other things that Google search terms have predicted this year, including the surge in boat and RV sales.
Right.
The surge in home office furniture sales, computer and related item sales. Think about things like cameras for video chats. The huge rise in pool installations, home exercise equipment, bicycles, outdoor activities, gardening, gun sales, ammo sales, cooking at home, and video games. Those are all things that have spiked in Google search terms and spiked in sales this
year. And every one of them is sensible.
Yep. And at the same time, it can also show the opposite fate for things like going to the movies, eating out, travel, hotels, flights, cruises, and malls. And one of the biggest areas of growth in Google terms this year has been home purchases, apartment rentals, and home improvement. Home sales have skyrocketed since the pandemic began in both new and existing, and inventories remain really low and sales remain strong. And it'll be interesting to see how these trends last as the vaccine becomes available and the things open back up. If people will still be focused on buying the best home that they can buy, or are they going to go back to the way things were before?
Well, when things get better, I'll promise you one thing. The search on restaurants will go way, way up. because you got to find out which ones are going to be open.
That's true. And that's honestly, I put a note here. That's one of the things I miss the most is dining out with friends. And I think that a lot of America probably feels the same way, especially Absolutely. In big cities where it's the norm to go out to eat versus in the suburbs where you're probably more likely to cook.
Yeah, and city, real intense city dwellers don't have that kind of food preparation spaces and their limited number of square feet that they're overpaying for.
And I think what Angela and Howard were talking about during the last show was very similar to that, just that home sales are through the roof in Jacksonville, especially in the last few months. There's no inventory. Things are selling like crazy. And the housing starts number in November mirrored that. They're up 1.2%. They're now up 12.8% versus a year ago. And then building permits were up 6.2% in November, with single-family permits up 22.2% and multifamily permits down 13.7%. So you can
– don't want to live with a bunch of other people.
You can clearly see where buyers' preferences are at this point. The housing data came in really strong this month, but the retail sales did not. They dropped 1.1%, nearly 400% worse than the expectations. In addition, the previous month was revised down substantially, and the biggest hit came in clothing sales, down 6.8%, then bars and restaurants down 4%, and electronics and appliances were down 3.5%. Biggest increase came in food and beverage sales, which makes sense. If restaurants are down, food and grocery stores go up. They were up 1.6%. Building materials up 1.1%, again, with the housing trend. And online sales were the only other category to increase up just a little bit at 0.2%.
And that, again, speaks well to the current situation with the haves and the have-nots.
Yes, definitely.
I cannot believe the derelict Congress what's her name? She who shall not be spoken. She has caused so much misery to so many people this year for politics. And when it hits your money, then it hits me and it hits you and it hits a lot of our listeners. And I'm so beside myself that I don't know what to say. So
yeah,
fix it.
It's not that hard. Just do it.
No.
You got it done the first time. There's no reason you can't get it done a second time.
On a very bipartisan basis where everybody understood that this was a problem that needed to be fixed. Hell, that you get people like you and me supporting the spending of $2.8 trillion,
yeah,
you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't even spent it. It's just beyond my ability after 70 years of walking around this planet to comprehend how broken D.C. is.
Yep, and if you can't figure out how to spend it, just cut a check to the people again.
Really?
I mean, that is the most direct way.
Error on the side of more money in people's hands.
Exactly.
You're not going to go terribly wrong. All right, well, that brings me to my why. This is the first time in a long time that the market is more optimistic than I am.
Me too, actually.
Everybody knows that we tend to be on the side, the cockeyed optimist side. So that leads me to the question, why? And I have some questions. I guess it may be rhetorical, maybe not. But do you think, and I'm making the assumption right now that the election results are not going to get overturned. The fake election results are not going to get overturned. The economy will improve because of a Biden administration. Do you think that? And if so, why? Do you think raising taxes on higher earners will improve the economy? Why? Do you think raising taxes on everyone will make a stronger economy? Why? Do you think that discouraging retirement savings will improve the economy? Why? What about the election on January 5th? Will that improve the economy? Why? Will you feel the same, win or lose in the Senate? Why? Will you feel better because you get rid of the best president in a lifetime just because you don't like his personality? Why? I think it's possible that after all these years of studying, that one rule remains the same. The economy drives the market. What do you think about the economy?
I think that it's poised to do really well, and it has nothing to do with politics.
If certain things happen.
It has nothing to do with what just happened in the election, but I do think that the economy is on solid ground despite everything that is happening right now.
Well, I'm maybe a little less optimistic about that than you are, but I understand where you're coming from and why you would think.
But I don't think it's 42% better than it was at this time last year. That's where I'm a little bit... the NASDAQ is up 42%. Necessarily make sense.
I got a couple other numbers, too. We'll do it right after the break, and then we'll move on. All right, don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
A reminder that our trivia question is open. How much of Bernie Madoff's lost client money will have been recovered by the time the last distribution is made in a percentage term? There's a twist on this, too, at the end, so stay tuned all the way to the end. Adam and I we actually just solved the world's problem, and we're willing to share it, so here we go. The reason that both of us are feeling edgy about the market right now is very, very simple. We know, first, that the economy drives the market. We know, second, that if you treat the economy poorly, it will go down. Third, everything that's in place right now is good for the economy, except COVID, of course. And if that doesn't change, the market will probably keep going up. And what is the one thing between now and that determination? It's January 5th election in Georgia. If the Senate can freeze Trump's policies.
No, Biden. Oh, freeze them in place. Okay.
Then we'll be fine. But if we don't carry the Senate and Biden's policies get in, then I'm going to be a very, very negative Nancy for a while until it works its way out. I'm not doing a thing about it right now, except waiting patiently and hoping beyond hope that people understand that we don't need any more socialists and communists in our government, because financially, that'll just pick your pocket.
Yeah, the one thing we have done is we are sitting on more cash than we normally do and waiting till we see the results of that election to make a determination about what to do next, because it really will have a huge difference on what happens in the next 2 years in our country. And I say 2 years because there'll be another election at that point that should, if the Republicans do not win those two seats, they would likely switch back to Republican in 2 years. So it would be a 2 year window where it was a Democrat control, all houses and the presidency.
All right. For those of you playing the home game, I can't think of a better time to engage a good financial advisor with the uncertainties that are out there. The one thing we know we're going to do, as Adam said, we're sitting on a pile of cash. One thing we know we're going to do is invest that cash after this is all settled. We don't know if we're going direction A or direction B, but once we're comfortable that the status has become the quo, then we will be investing again and we'll be helping clients get back into the market, because I know whether it's path A or path B, one thing is for absolute certain, they're going to spend a lot of money. And when people spend a lot of money, there's a lot of Wall Street that's going to make a lot of money. And I want in.
Yeah, I agree.
Just that simple. I want our clients.
It's definitely going to happen. I think that, but it looks very different under a red Senate than it does under a blue Senate.
Traditional energy versus traditional clean energy. And there's a lot of that is traditional now, because we've had wind and solar and all that for a long time. But they're vastly different investments in the same sector. And I'm going to be very heavy on one of them or the other. But right now, I'm waiting to see. Mm-hmm. You have to apply some logic once in a while.
And then you can make the argument that no matter what happens, consumers want clean energy. So that is going to be a sector over the next 10 to 20 years that's going to grow. It doesn't matter who's in power.
Absolutely right. All right, well, we're talking about taxes and raising taxes and how would it impact you. One of the things that I'm going to be looking for is whether tax rates actually do rise, because I know it's a contractionary force on the economy. And it's been proven, I don't know how many times we have to do this, but if you reduce marginal tax rates, more money comes in. I took a quick look at what happened in the Reagan administration. When Ronald Reagan came in, he was elected in 1980, the top marginal tax rate was 70%.
Unbelievable.
He got his tax reform done in a couple of years, and the top marginal rate dropped to 28%. So let's look at a couple of things. In year one, being 1980, people who filed taxes on a million-plus earnings were 4,389. 8 years later, it was 61,896 people filed on over a million. Wowie. The taxable income received in 1980 was $7 million. 8 years later, that was just from that group. From the same group, it was $7 trillion. I'm having trouble. $7 billion. It went to $150 billion in 1988, which is a growth rate compounded annually of 46%.
Wow.
How would you like your income to have a compound growth rate of 46%?
I would be okay with that.
I would too. So why, given a government whose spending plans are unstoppable, would they want to throw a wrench in the works of a 46% annual compound growth rate in their own income? I don't get it. Check all the figures for other tax decreases like Kennedy, Bush, and you're going to find exactly the same thing. But that was astounding. Look at the 70% to 28%. That took a force of Reagan-type entity in power to get it done, and then they started nibbling away at it. And what have we done since then? We're now at 37, mm-hmm. and we're about to go to 39.6. Let me just raise it back to 70 and see if we're right. No, please, don't do that. Okay, show of hands, everybody. Who out there has some student debt? I think I see Adam's hand up. Yep.
Not much, but a little bit.
And who knows someone, perhaps a relative, perhaps a friend, who has student debt, and they're struggling with it? There is a very, very, Alan's in. There is a very, very small percentage of people who are not impacted in some way, shape, or form by student debt. This, despite the fact that it was fixed in the Obama administration. The whole problem was fixed. It still seems to be a problem to me. But there's a couple of good ideas out there. One of them, there's a couple of bad ideas too. Let's start with the bad. Crazy Uncle Bernie wants to just give you $10,000 toward your debt. And most of the people that worship him say, 10? That's nothing. How about 50? There's a bidding war going on for how much money they should give you.
So a couple of caveats there. You have to make under a certain amount of money
yep.
to get that 10.
Yeah.
And there has to be certain types of loans, I believe. Government loans only.
No
private loans. So there's some asterisks by that.
Yeah. It's a redistribution of wealth situation once again. Now, let me ask you, all of those who are affected by this, how many of you had student debt and paid it off?
I'm almost there.
Almost.
I've paid off some of my loans. I've paid off my wife's loans, so that counts.
Well, how would you two feel if somebody got $10,000 or $50,000 and said, hey, this is great, isn't it?
Yeah, no, not really. I always say I'm just about to pay off mine, and now I have to pay off everyone else's.
Exactly.
That doesn't really sit that well with me.
So what's the first rule of being gifted some money? It's taxable income to you, right?
Well, no. First rule of being gifted, it's almost never taxable income.
Aha, that's right. But most people don't understand that. However, if it's forgiven,
then yes, it is usually.
You see the minor difference out there from a
correct.
Tax standpoint?
Yep.
I think they're going to try to finagle this along the gifting lines so that the taxpayers pick it up. You know, there's a trend in D.C. right now where you don't, at least in certain parts of the government, you can figure out where I'm going with that one. The term taxpayer money is no longer used. It has been vanished. What's the word? Canceled.
Canceled.
So canceled culture took another victim. That victim is called taxpayer money. It is now only to be referred to as government money.
Right.
How much money does any government have? None. It's Marshall, because the music's playing. I got about 25 seconds. I'll pick you up right afterwards if you don't mind. I appreciate it. We just don't have time to do anything significant. So we'll let you stew on it, maybe practice up a little bit on what you want to say. Not that you've ever been a problem that way. Anyway, there is a great proposal, and the proposal is very simple. It says your employer, where he might be donating to your 401k, could donate that money to your student loan amortization. I love it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And as we say, let Troy do it. Mr. Marshall.
Gentlemen, I too, if I had a student loan and had paid it back, would have been very anxious about paying everybody else's as well.
Uh-huh.
But that gets into, recently many of us received updated benefit letters from Social Security.
Mm-hmm. It's that time of year.
And a surprising item that was included in mine was a almost doubling of my Part B Medicare premium.
Welcome to the club.
Because I had crossed a threshold.
Yes.
Due to certain activities that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were so nice to give me some sources to look in, and I studied and I filed mine, and then I'm sitting down with a client this past week, and he was in a different scenario. His scenario was 2 days before he had finally retired.
Okay.
So he got his letter early November, late November, he's officially retired.
Okay.
Is he going to be able to file to have an impact sometime in 2021? Or has he got to wait until he proves it with a year of income?
Nope. Don't wait. Move first. Okay. Be very aggressive. Adam pointed out a week or two ago that this whole thing, the form's called SA-44, and we spend a lot of time talking about it because we've used it so successfully, both personally for me and with a bunch of our clients. But Adam pointed out that significant to this process of getting the SA-44 is that you have to actually have incurred a life-altering event, one of which, probably the primary one of which for most people, is retirement. So he's got to prove that he retired and send in the physical proof to them along with the SA-44, and he'll get knocked right back to whatever his remaining retirement income will be.
Well, I had broached that with him because I thought it was, and I said, hey, if you think to listen at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning on 600, mm-hmm. you'll hear the guys with the answers. So mm-hmm. I will remind him that's where the answers
were. Well, we appreciate that, too. This is been one of the most common questions we've gotten this year. For some reason, it's been on everybody's mind.
Well, a lot of people are retiring, and a lot of people who were doing very well are retiring for two reasons. They're getting old,
he said. Yeah, if you're lucky.
And older, I know about that.
Older. Come on,
older.
Steve.
Yes,
older.
Well, you know me. I'm growing older, but not
you are older than me, okay?
Yes, that's true. Everything's relative. But the other thing is, a lot of them put off retirement for quite a while because the market was not conducive to retiring. So now, with the market at the level it is, there's an awful lot of people saying, okay, I think I can pull the trigger now and get out of this. So I think that's why we've been hearing so much about it.
Okay.
But yes.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's not all the money in China, but that's a very healthy amount every month.
It's a big amount, and it's not deductible for most people. And And it's buying something for more money that is not one iota different than the same thing purchased for less money. There's no benefit, in other words.
Yep.
So that's
all right, gentlemen.
Did you
have a great week?
I assume you're the kind of guy that Marshall, you got to say.
Yeah.
I assume you're the kind of guy who lost money with Bernie Madoff, right?
I don't think I would have passed Bernie Madoff's sniff test.
Probably not. Did you want to take a shot at how much has been recovered, percentage-wise?
$350 million.
It's percentage. A percent, though.
60%.
60?
Yeah.
That's a brilliant guess. It's a little too low, though.
Oh.
How about that?
All right. Well, good. How about that?
There's a catch, though. Don't quit listening till it's over.
I won't quit listening. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Marshall. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye. That's, you know, just what Marshall said. It's so pervasive and no one knows. I will promise you a few things in life, not very many, but I'll promise you this one. Social Security and Medicare aren't going to knock on your door to ask you if you just had a significant life-changing event that decreases your income.
No.
This is 100% personal initiative. And as I said, we have done them successfully for many, many people. There's a persistent rumor out there that says nobody ever wins these things. And that comes out of the mouths of CPAs, tax preparers, all kinds of people. Don't believe it. You need to contact us. Why don't you tell them how to do that? And you can ask us what we think about your situation, and maybe you can go to work on it.
Yeah, we make it pretty easy to contact us. If you ever want to call us during business hours, our number is 904-685-1505. Even easier to make an appointment with us would be to go to our website, vanweefinancial.com, and simply click on the book a meeting button. And we are currently revamping that website. So in about 3 months or so, it's going to look entirely different and entirely better.
Good. Good morning, Bosco.
Yes, how are we doing?
We are wonderful, and how about you?
I'm down here watching the big boats come and go, you know, as they're heading out to the Windy Sea down here at Mayport.
Nice.
Trying to dock this wind chill that's coming through.
You don't let a lot of grass grow under your feet, do you?
No kidding.
No moss growing on. No moss growing on stone.
Actually, I'm going to be there tomorrow.
We play at least a monthly game of Where's Bosco?
Yeah, here. Exactly.
Excellent. I want to take a stab at your question, and I'm thinking percentage wise. I didn't quite get the last part of your question, but as far as recovery, I would think that, you know, electronically speaking, the way that they're, you know, the government can stretch their fingers into how they can get into people's finances, his would be an ideal test. And I would think that they would probably pull out probably 75 to maybe 80% of the money that he had at, you know, at his disposal that he squirreled away, spent, what have you, you know.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
80.5% has been recovered. But, and there is a huge but coming up. I'll put you on hold and we can get your address and send you a little something. I got another call I want to handle quickly, and then I'll tell you what the big butt might be. Oh, the other one went away anyway.
They were calling to guess the trivia.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, call back next week, Mike. All right, here's the story, though. The percentage money is a little bit different than you might think. It's 80% based on losses of – you've all heard the stories, right? The numbers of losses. The actual losses were $3.2 billion.
Wow.
That doesn't sound like all that much, does it? But the difference,
right.
the reported Madoff scheme was a loss of $65 billion. The difference between 3.2 and 65 was paper profits that never really existed.
Okay.
He sent out statements to everybody every month showing a nice steady monthly growth, but the actual amount contributed, which means initial input, minus anybody who took money out, the recovery is $3.2 billion to be 100%. The $65 billion was kind of like those of you who like everybody, me included, back in 1999, making a lot of money in the NASDAQ, and then it crashed. How much money did you lose? Well, that's two answers, cash or paper.
Yep.
So on paper, there's another $62 billion that people thought they had and don't. That was the big catch. So thank you for getting it right. We'll I'll put you on hold, and Alan will take your data. We appreciate the call. Merry Christmas.
And right back at y'all.
Thanks so much. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I had always heard much bigger numbers, which is why I guess so much lower percentage recovered, but I didn't realize
that. And guess why I came up with that trivia question?
So much of it had been fake growth. That's crazy.
Exactly right. And I got a kick out of that when I read it, and I don't know, it didn't make me happy. I just got a kick out of the number, I guess, because of the reporting differences. But all those months, all those years, all those people, they're making their 0.8, 1, 1.2% a month, just chugging along, gets bigger and compounds all the time, except for that one little thing. The only real money is $3.2 billion.
Unreal.
You just never know, do you? Well, on that happy note, maybe a lot of us will feel better about what happened in 1999, especially when you consider that since March 9th of 1999, the NASDAQ is now up, ready for this, percentage-wise, 905%. Isn't that something? And I'll tell you the difference, this particular time, it's real money. You can actually sell something and take the money and run, not like last time. All right, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you the day after. This is the Ben Lee Financial Hour.